Is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight trade deadline special podcast for Friday, July 30th, 2021. I'm Buster Olney, sitting right outside Studio Y here in Bristol at ESPN after we got done our trade deadline show. And producing the show from the shores of the Pacific is Mr. Malibu, Nathan Garcia. Nathan, what did you think of the trade deadline this year?
Oh, it was madness. I've been watching baseball, MLB Network, refreshing my browser, and today I'm wearing my Nationals hat. Not because I'm a proud fan, but it's more in memory of the team we once had.
So. I was going to say, I was kind of wondering if your hat's already been traded, right? I mean, it's kept up because they and the Cubs pretty much got rid of everybody. On the show today, Sarah Langs, reporter-producer for MLB.com. David Schoenville covers baseball for ESPN. Guys, how you doing? Sarah?
Doing great. I mean, oh my gosh, what a trade deadline. Not even just today, but these last few days. This feels like up there with some of the most manic we've ever seen, which is outstanding and so much fun.
Dave, what'd you think?
Yeah, pretty remarkable. 10 All-Stars traded that were All-Stars this year. That's the most ever. Doesn't even include, you know, Jose Barrios, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo. 5 players who've hit 20-plus home runs this year were traded. That's a record. Oh, and the Cubs and Nationals play tonight. Are they going to be able to field teams? I don't know.
It would be interesting to be like working in the clubhouses in those two places where they're, you know, probably have a sewing machine in the back and they're putting the names on the back of jerseys and ripping other ones off. It's absolutely crazy. Look, we're going to touch on every division as we move forward, but real quick, real easy, winners and losers for you. Sarah?
Well, I'll start with losers first. I think it's the Colorado Rockies. I mean, the fact that they didn't make a move, they didn't trade Trevor Story, they didn't trade John Gray. We were expecting, you know, one of these guys to probably be moved. It's interesting. I mean, you know, for Story, they can make that qualifying offer and they can get a draft pick if he does turn that down, which is, I think, what we would expect to happen. But it seems like based on the prices we saw, they could have gotten a decent haul for Trevor Story. So I feel like we were all staring at them waiting for that moment to happen. And in terms of winners, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be overly optimistic here, but I feel like there are a lot of them. But, you know, I really like the Chris Bryant move for the Giants. And I really like the Blue Jays going after a pitcher. I feel like Dave and I talked about that on Tuesday, and Buster, you and I have talked about that leading up to this day. So those are two I'm going to mention. There are definitely other winners, but I'll leave some for you guys.
Yeah, and just to back up what you said about the Rockies, you know, they were communicating to other teams, guys, on Thursday that John Gray was not going to be available. The sense of other teams was that Trevor Story probably wasn't going to be traded. Daniel Bard, you know, potentially a relief piece in the trade market, he wasn't going to be available, which tells you, it's specifically in the case of John Gray, even as this feeding frenzy developed and all the teams were getting excited and the competition was developing within the divisions, the Rockies didn't even go through a process. Dave, I don't understand that. Who you got for winners and losers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys on the Rockies, especially given the price that teams were paying for some of these players. I think more good prospects were traded this year than we've seen in a long, long time. So they could have gotten something for Story and Gray and Bard. I'd throw the Reds in there as well as a loser. I get it. They're 7 games behind the Brewers, so the odds of winning that division were slim, but they needed a shortstop. You know, they didn't get Javier Baez. Andrelton Simmons was probably available. Freddie Galvis, so they didn't make a move. But to me, the winner, maybe this is pretty simple. I'm going the Dodgers. Max Scherzer, Trey Turner. Look, I know they still got to catch the Giants to win that division. That's paramount. But if they get healthy by October, man, are they loaded.
All right. For me, winners, the Milwaukee Brewers. And I date the trade deadline work back to the Willy Adames deal for them. He's been terrific. He's had a big impact. He's improved their defense. I love the deal for Eduardo Escobar. Potentially is a safety net all over the infield. You know, adding Daniel Norris, another bullpen piece, a guy who's pitched well against left-handers this year. His overall numbers are not great, but you know how Craig Counsell is in lining up his relievers. I thought that was really good. And guys, I don't understand the Red Sox. Yep. They're in a position, yep, you know, in first place. They've been one of the big surprises in baseball. All credit to Chaim Bloom and his front office for getting him in that spot. but I do not understand why they did not finish a trade for Anthony Rizzo. And I'm sitting here today. I don't know what the, you know, the Cubs asked for Rizzo. Whatever it was going to be worth it. They went out last night. They traded for Kyle Schwarber, who, yes, he's a really good hitter. But now as Alex Cora makes his choices in these matchups they're going to develop, he's going to have to make, you know, effectively choices that diminish his defense. If you play Kyle Schwarber at first base, a position he's never played, that's going to be a problem. If you play him in left field, and that probably means that one of the other, you know, much better defensive outfielders, they're going to have to sit. You could potentially put Kyle Schwarber DH, but then JD Martinez would have to be in the outfield. Again, the defense would be diminished. Am I wrong? The Red Sox, to me, their decision-making at this deadline, I don't get it. It didn't feel like there was enough urgency.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, too. You know, I know they're getting Chris Sale back for the rotation, but that rotation has a 4.51 ERA, which is a half run worse than the Rays, worse than the Blue Jays. Eduardo Rodriguez just got hammered again last night. He's really been struggling. So that rotation, I just have a feeling it's going to kind of crawl to the finish line, even with the boost that Sale will hopefully give them. I'm with you on the defense at first base. That's a problem. When they won in 2018, they had that great defensive outfield, and they had Mitch Moreland, you know, a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. That was the strength of that team defensively, outfield and first base. Now they're going to be fooling around a little bit there. So, I get it. The Yankees probably aren't going to catch the Red Sox, but the Rays are breathing right down their neck. So the Red Sox didn't do enough to make them a strong favorite to win that division.
Yeah, and Sarah, tomorrow morning, I'm looking forward to reading the Boston Globe on Monday. hearing about the feedback from Boston Talk Radio. I just wonder if the front office was prepared, is fully prepared for the backlash that they're going to feel from this trade deadline. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, and I totally agree with everything you said and everything Dave said. And just to add on slightly, I mean, their relief acquisition was Hansel Robles, who has not been very good this year. And I also thought that they could have benefited from adding another good reliever. You know, there was discussion about Craig Kimbrel at one point, but even if it weren't to be Kimbrel, I think someone in the Richard Rodriguez sort of echelon or anybody else would have been a better addition for them than Robles. So I definitely think there are some questions. I mean, as you said, you know, the Rays are right there. They're, I think, a game and a half out entering tonight. And they have not necessarily run away with this yet. And again, this is a team that entering the year was not expected to be particularly good pitching wise. And I think they've outperformed so far, at least on that end. I think we expected the offense to rebound, the JD Martinez's and Rafael Devers and so on. But I do think there are a lot of questions there. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting. This was, as we said, one of the busiest trade deadlines we've seen in a while. And, you know, that awesome note that Dave mentioned about the 10 all-stars changing teams. And you almost wonder if certain front offices maybe weren't prepared for just how this trade deadline was going to go. And they were sitting by realizing, oh, all of this is happening around them. Cause that's sort of how I see what happened with the Red Sox.
All right. As we go through our review of the trade deadline craziness that we saw, we're going to go division by division since we've gone so heavily on the American League East. Or we've been talking about the Red Sox. Let's talk about the American League East. Anthony Rizzo spoke with reporters and said he had nothing but love for the Cubs, and he's experiencing a range of emotions. Give a listen.
Well, this is all good things come to an end, and it's going to be a tough second half here, which a lot of us here aren't used to in a long time. So to be able to go to another historic franchise like the Yankees is – it's unbelievable. And again, the calls and the texts, how excited they are, how excited I am. My family's all from New Jersey and New York, so Emily's family's up in Connecticut. So it's going to be a really special, another special opportunity for me for these next 3 months, and just going to enjoy it.
And Yankees manager Aaron Boone discussed the club trading for outfielder Joey Gallo and what the All-Star can bring to the club.
Look, I'm thrilled he's coming to join the fold. This is obviously a tremendous player. I think, you know, hopefully people are talking about what a tremendous all-around player We're getting a really good athlete, a guy that runs the bases, that has some speed, that's a really good defender in the outfield. So, and obviously the tremendous patience and power that he has. So excited, and an all-star, and just really excited to add him. And
yeah, so guys, the Yankees, they add Gallo, they add Anthony Rizzo, they add Andrew Heaney. I think, you know, the folks in the Yankees front office are well aware that it's an absolute long shot for them to win the division. According to Fangraphs, their chances for making the playoffs are at 41%. But by adding Anthony Rizzo and Gallo, I think makes their offense a lot better. Sarah, I said on the show, get up, I thought they're actually going to make the playoffs. What do you think of the additions for the Yankees?
I totally agree. I mean, after the Gallo move, I was definitely encouraged. And after they added Rizzo as well last night, I was feeling the same that, you know, we talked about this even in the last few weeks, and it didn't necessarily seem like the Yankees were going to make the playoffs. But with those two moves, I thought that they were much better set up, and certainly adding Heaney today as well. I do think they need a little bit more pitching depth. I think they could have gone a little further with that, but I really like the addition of Gallo and of Rizzo. I think they needed those lefty bats. And something with Gallo that, you know, I've been tweeting about, talking about, and want to make sure the Yankees fans are hearing is that he's going to help that team a lot on defense too. And that's something that they've been lacking. I know he'll probably be playing left field, so that's not the position where his stats are, but he's leading all right fielders in outs above average if you look over the last 2 years. And his arm is the third strongest in the majors this year by any outfielder. So all of that is also really going to help them for a team that we've seen sort of struggle on fundamentals a bit this year. I think that upgrading defense in addition, and that's something they also did with Anthony Rizzo, who leads all first basemen and outs above average. I think that those are kind of the underlying parts of these moves that people might not be talking about quite as much, but are really, really important, especially for the 2021 Yankees.
So the Yankees get a couple left-handed hitters. The Toronto Blue Jays get the best available starting pitcher in the trade market in Jose Berríos. And we saw last week, Dave, the Tampa Bay Rays at Nelson Cruz. Who do you think did well in this group?
Well, the Rays definitely needed a right-handed bat. They're like 26th, I think, in the majors in OPS against left-handed pitchers. They also got Jordan Luplo right at the end of the deadline from Cleveland, a platoon outfielder. So two right-handed bats, that helps. I didn't like that they trade away their closer in Diego Castillo. I know the Rays, we always give them credit for these kinds of deals, but that could backfire. So let's see how the back of their bullpen plays out without Castillo. For Toronto, look, I love when teams go for it, no doubt, and they have Berríos for next year. I thought they gave up a lot in that deal. Scouts love Austin Martin. You know Austin Martin, your Vanderbilt boy. Fifth overall pick in the draft last year. He's only hit two home runs in Double-A, so there's some issues whether his power will develop. But with him and Semien Woods-Richardson, two really good prospects. So they did pay a steep price for Berríos. So definite good grade for Minnesota in that trade. For Toronto, if they don't make the playoffs last year, that's a lot for 1 year of Berríos.
In the American League Central, let's face it, there are not a lot of buyers. Cleveland was selling off leading up the deadline. The Twins were selling off. The Royals, you know, moving Jorge Soler in a deal to the Atlanta Braves. The Detroit Tigers selling off. Chicago White Sox get the best available reliever in Craig Kimbrel for a very steep price from the Chicago Cubs. Dave, what'd you think about that one?
I love this trade on both ends. Kimbrel, 106 batting average allowed. You know, he's probably been the best reliever in baseball this year, him or Josh Hader. He's back to the old Kimbrel. It improves the White Sox's chances of winning the World Series. They can move Liam Hendricks into the eighth inning role. They also got Ryan Tepera from the Cubs. So that's now a 1-2-3 combo in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. Reminds me of what the Royals had a few years ago. But the Cubs, hey, you get a second baseman who's going to be your second baseman for the next 5 years. That's a great return for a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I am curious about the politics of this in terms of how they're going to handle the closer role. And I'm sure that the conversations were already had before they made the deal for Craig Kimbrel. Someone who had 371 saves in his career coming into today, when he was a free agent a couple of years ago, has made very clear to teams he wants to be a closer. He doesn't want to be a setup man. So as he joins the White Sox, is that something he's going to hold to? given the fact that Liam Hendricks, you know, all-star closer, he just closed out the all-star game for the American League just a couple of weeks ago. I suspect that Liam Hendricks, Sarah, pretty flexible personality, it seems. Well, I'm sure we're going to hear more about that from Tony La Russa as we go along here. What'd you think?
For sure. I mean, you know, one of the first things I thought of was just the interview that he did on Sunday Night Baseball. Wasn't that this past week? And I think fans have really seen that attitude that he has. So it'll be interesting to manage for sure. But I think that it seems that he has the type of personality that will be able to go along with whatever it is. And, you know, we'll see with Craig Kimbrell. I mean, he did definitely make that known, as you said, and as you reported back when he was a free agent. But I wonder when it's, hey, you could win a World Series here. You could win another World Series with another team. You know, players are often willing to be a little bit more flexible in situations like that. But I love seeing them do that. I mean, it was definitely a steep price. And I was shocked just to see Madrigal's name going on the bottom line while I was watching you guys on ESPN. But I think that it was worth it for both sides. And I love the idea that when we watch Cubs White Sox games, moving forward after this year, we're going to have Eloy Jimenez on the White Sox, who was a Cub and was in that Jose Quintana deal. And then we're going to have Nick Madrigal at second base when he's healthy next year on the Cubs, and he was on the White Sox. I just think that we don't see that many of these crosstown trades, and it's pretty fun that both of those players who changed teams in these deals over the last few years are pretty much going to be cornerstones of the offenses and just of the teams that they're on moving forward.
Now, in terms of big name deals, I think they're probably the fewest involved the American League West teams. The Oakland Athletics did add Starling Marte, Yan Gomes, Josh Harrison. We saw the Houston Astros add Kendall Graveman in that controversial deal with the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners add some pieces, Diego Castillo being one of those. Sarah, what did you think of the deals made by the West teams?
It was interesting. I mean, as you said, definitely some of maybe the more underwhelming ones, but I like what the Astros did with their bullpen. I mean, that's been a little bit of a pain point for them this season. It's been better since. They had a really bad April, and they've been a little bit better since then, but I like those additions. I think adding Graveman made a lot of sense. As you mentioned, obviously, there was some concern with that maybe on the Seattle side, but I think the Mariners ended up basically trading Graveman for Castillo, not actually one for one, but I think having Diego Castillo will serve them better anyway. But I like what the Astros did. I mean, this is another team that, I mean, other than the A's, there's not really a lot going on there. We would all have loved to see the Angels add 15 players and win the World Series, but that wasn't going to happen. So I think beyond that, the AL West just wasn't as high stakes in all of this as some of the other divisions.
Dave?
Yeah, I was a little surprised Astros traded Miles Straw. I get it, he's not a superstar or anything like that, but he is their starting center fielder, so what are they going to do in center field? They did call up a kid named Jake Myers from AAA. He has a 1,000 OPS there. He's been crushing it, so I don't know if he's going to be the answer in center field, but a little risky trading your starting center fielder.
All right, National League East is very interesting because the Mets are clear favorites to win this division. But a lot of uncertainty about Jacob deGrom and what he's going to bring the Mets going forward. I personally like the fact that the Phillies and Braves look to upgrade. You know, they weren't necessarily the most dynamic upgrades, but the Braves adding some outfielders, three of them, in fact, Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler. This is after they got Jock Peterson right at the trade deadline, at the All-Star break. And the Philadelphia Phillies adding one of the best available starting pitchers in Kyle Gibson. You know what? They're going to take a shot at the Mets, whose big deal, and they had to make a big deal as we get closer to the deadline, was for Javier Baez. Dave, what do you think? National League East.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I'm curious to hear what Sarah thinks about her beloved Mets. I'm a little lukewarm on this. Nothing wrong with adding Baez, but what? He has a 271 on base percentage over the last 2 years. He is not an elite run producer at the plate, still a great defensive player, of course. But I thought they needed another starting pitcher. They got Rich Hill a couple weeks ago, but I thought they might be in on Berríos, maybe a Kyle Gibson. That rotation with Taiwan Walker really struggling lately. There's still some concerns there.
Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was encouraged to see the Phillies and Braves making upgrades here because it was kind of a question heading into today, honestly, because we'd seen, as you mentioned, the Braves deals that they made a couple weeks ago, you know, adding Stephen Vogt and then adding Jock Peterson, but we hadn't fully gotten the signal of whether they were considering themselves buyers or sellers. And it's more exciting. I mean, these teams are within four games, so it's much more exciting to see those teams that are not in first place right now in the Braves and Phillies actually making moves and trying to compete. And I fully would believe that another one of these teams could win the division because we have that uncertainty with Jacob deGrom, as you mentioned, and Carlos Carrasco is returning tonight for the Mets or making his first ever start for them. We don't know what his season is going to look like, but I definitely agree with what Dave said. I mean, I thought the Mets needed an impact bat, but I wasn't sure that bat was really available other than honestly Trevor Story. I mean, Chris Bryant is a very good player. We'll get to the NL West at another point, but he has not been good since June 1st. And Javier Baez swings at everything. I mean, you know, highest swing rate, highest first pitch swing rate, highest whiff rate, you name it. He's right there towards the top of all of those lists. And by the way, they already have a guy who does a lot of that in Jeff McNeil. He also makes a lot of contact, but he swings a lot too. So I'm not sure that he represents that offensive upgrade that they needed, but I am excited to see him turn double plays with Francisco Lindor when Francisco Lindor is back. I mean, you can't deny that's going to be outstanding TV. And I'm just excited to see those moments, but that does not create a playoff berth in and of itself, of course.
And Sarah, I really feel like that Javier Baez is going to respond to playing alongside Francisco Lindor. Yes. They've been friends for so long. You know, if there's any player in baseball who can essentially say to Javi Baez, hey, what are you doing here? And bring him to a higher level of focus. I think that Francisco Lindor would be a great candidate for that. Do you guys agree, real quick, do you guys agree with me that in some respects, this division might simply come down to, is Jacob DeGrom available down the stretch?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah. I think that's these teams are really close together. The National League Central, they're not close together. You got the Milwaukee Brewers running away. I ran through, you know, all the great things that they've done. You know, the Cubs, obviously, with the big sell-off. The Cardinals, head-scratching moves for me, guys. It seemed weird that the Cardinals' moves, which were made right at the deadline, were in adding John Lester and Jay Happ. And I get it. You know, maybe John Lester wasn't available, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. But those deals, to me, just seem strange, almost like it was setting up the Cardinals to say, hey, see, look, we tried, when really they didn't, and they don't really have a chance. What'd you make of the National League Central deals, Dave, whether you want to talk about the Cubs or, you know, the Cardinals or, you know, the Brewers? Take it in.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the Cubs, it's definitely – sad to see this end of an era. You know, they had 5 playoff trips in 6 seasons, obviously the historic World Series title in 2016. I think at that time we expected this dynasty to develop. It didn't quite happen, but that group of players, a lot of success. So give them props for the run they had in Chicago. It's just sad to see it come to an end. But I think Jed Hoyer, by all accounts, he did a terrific job. And once you trade one of those guys, I think he played it smart. Trade them all, clear the decks. Yeah, the next, you know, year or two might not be great at Wrigley, but they've rebuilt that farm system overnight. And, you know, by 2024, I think the Cubs are going to be back there. And I'm with you. The Brewers, they're going to be a force to reckon with that rotation in October.
Sarah?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I totally agree on giving some props to the Cubs. Obviously, that was a great run, even though it only resulted in the 1 World Series title. And, you know, the Cubs and the Nationals, it's good to see teams do what they probably should be doing when they're really struggling in this respect with actually trading the guys. I feel like we have a lot of trade deadlines where we look at teams like the Rockies, who we mentioned before, and we're like, why did you not trade that guy? So it is, I know it's difficult for fans to deal with sometimes, but I do think it's good to see teams make those right moves for the future. And, you know, I think the Brewers, I mean, I like the moves that they made, but I think they also simply won in this division from the fact that the Reds didn't really do much, and from the fact that the Cubs are now going to be even less of, you know, a team to contend with when they do play down the stretch. So, you know, the Brewers have been in control here for a while, and I think that just continues.
Yeah, the talent influx into the National League West with all the deadline deals that were done continued. You're talking about the San Diego Padres getting Adam Frazier, getting Daniel Hudson. You're talking about the San Francisco Giants getting Chris Bryant. You're talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, adding Max Scherzer, adding Trey Turner. And I would say this, guys, the one thing that I've seen out there that I kind of disagree with is that it feels like that the deal that the Dodgers made with the Nationals, it's being cast as, boy, this unbeatable team, loaded with superstars, just got 2 more superstars. When I really feel like that what actually happened was the Dodgers addressing legitimate holes. Like Max Scherzer is needed for the rotation because, let's face it, we don't know if Trevor Bauer is ever going to pitch for the Dodgers again. Mookie Betts has not been the same player, you know, hitting 270 and not hitting for power as well, seemingly, you know, not as healthy as last year. Maybe he was a 2021 hangover, but he's having a hip issue, and that's kept him off the field recently. And I don't think the Dodgers have any idea what Cody Bellinger is going to give them offensively, hitting 161. Sarah, you know, what do you make of what the Dodgers did?
Well, I completely agree with your characterization. I mean, I know people love to use the phrase super team, and certainly on paper we see that, but I agree. I mean, I think these were legitimate concerns that they were addressing. You know, they definitely needed another starter. I mean, they're still looking up at the Giants, and I think we probably all expect that to change at some point here in the next few weeks, but they've been looking up at them pretty much all year. And as you said, we don't know with Trevor Bauer, and Clayton Kershaw is not back yet, and they do need some pitching depth. And it just shows you by the way, how you can never have enough pitching, because entering the season, the, you know, thing about the Dodgers was, oh my gosh, they have too many pitchers. Tony Gonsolin isn't even going to pitch. And here they are needing to add a Max Scherzer. And I agree. I really like the Trey Turner move. You know, he can be flexible at least this year while they have Corey Seager still on the team. And, you know, they're probably making a move thinking about next year and probably potentially not re-signing Seager. So I think that these were players they legitimately needed. I 100% agree with that. And I mean, so exciting to see two players like that moved. Again, I know not for Nationals fans, but for most other people, I guess unless you're an NL West fan elsewhere, I think it's just so cool to see names and caliber players like that getting moved at the deadline.
Okay, the Giants. Yeah, the Dodgers have had some injury issues. The Giants, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria, Brandon Belt, Buster Posey have all been on the IL. Crawford and Posey are back. Longoria and Belt should be back relatively soon. But they've maintained first place with this complete patchwork lineup over the last month and a half. They're getting healthy. Now you add Chris Bryant. I think he'll probably play left field. That's been their weakest position. The rotation's been consistent all year. So, yeah, the Dodgers still have to catch a team that shows no signs of falling off, even though I think we sort of all expect them to. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I think the Giants are for real. That race between those two teams with the Padres outside looking in is going to be fantastic. Sadly, they only have one series left between the Giants and Dodgers. That's early September. Come on, schedule makers. You couldn't have given us two or three of those in the September?
Yeah, exactly. And pressure will be on those teams all the way along because, of course, only one team wins the division. The other two have to go into a winner-take-all wild card game. All right, guys, before we go, let's run through some Bleacher tweets. Debbie Gammons Brown asked the question, I need a good explanation of why Anthony Rizzo is in pinstripes and not the Red Sox. Was this just the Yankees playing keep away, or did Boston swing and miss? Sarah, what do you think?
A great question. I mean, we were discussing before, it does feel like a swing and miss by the Red Sox for sure, but I don't think it's just the Yankees playing keep away. I mean, as we discussed, he's going to be a huge upgrade for them defensively and obviously as a lefty bat. So even if the origin may have been, oh, the Red Sox are on him, let's get into those conversations, I think the outcome is a lot more than just that.
Okay. Eric E. asked me the question, would you still consider the Brewers your favorites to win the World Series after the big Dodgers trade? I would, Eric. I like the Brewers in terms of the dominance, the absolute dominance of their pitching and their excellent defense. Now, let's face it, they don't have the margin for error in terms of dealing with injuries that some of the other teams have. They don't have a dynamic offense, and I'm sort of counting on the fact that at some point Christian Yelich will come back and will be able to, you know, be a plus down the stretch. Jeremy Briggs asks, what is the largest return for one player ever at the trade deadline? Picks, cash, players. Dave, I'm going to throw it to you. We can all sort of brainstorm here. I'm just thinking of those massive trades. I can so clearly remember that Tom Seaver trade, what a big controversial trade that was between the Reds and the Reds.
Mets.
Right. When that deal was made, but I don't know in terms of volume, off-season trade, definitely. When I was covering the Padres, they made a 12-player trade with the Houston Astros that involved Ken Caminiti, Finley, all kinds of guys. Anything come to mind for you, Dave?
Well, as a Mariners fan, I'll bring up two trades. So there was, I think, 1997, the Mariners had this great lineup, Griffey, Edgar Martinez, A-Rod, their bullpen was horrible. They traded two minor leaguers named Derek Lowe and Jason Veritek for a closer with a 5-something ERA named Heathcliff Slocum. That did not work out in that. Obviously, we know where Derek Lowe and Jason Veritek were in 2004. But another trade the next year when they knew Randy Johnson wasn't going to re-sign, they traded him. They got Freddie Garcia, Carlos Guillen. And that Buster, I think that trade is kind of the one that really jump-started this whole trade deadline frenzy that we now see every year. There had been trades here and there, David Cone a couple times, but it wasn't sort of mandatory that teams make these big deals at the trade deadline. And when Houston got Randy Johnson in 98, that sort of now became the de facto rule. If you're a GM and your team's in first place or contending, you got to make a move. So historically, I think that's a really significant trade.
And that was the first year, 1998, that Brian Cashman was the general manager of the Yankees, and the Astros outbid the Yankees and other teams for Randy Johnson. And I can specifically remember Brian, off the record, I'm sure he doesn't care if I tell the story now, rooting against Randy Johnson the rest of the year. he knew that George Steinbrenner was going to land to him if somehow Houston made it to the World Series. The Yankees wound up winning.
I had a writer who I won't name tell me once, and I can say this because Woody Woodward, the Mariners GM at the time, he's passed away. Supposedly, that trade happened right at the last second. And supposedly, the way it was told to me, the Red Sox asked for Derek Lowe or Jason Varitek. And Woodward misunderstood and said, sure, you can have them both. Wow. Which I don't know. I mean, Varitek was a first-round pick, so hardly a throw-in, right? Anyways, I don't know if it's true. I was told it was. But us Mariner fans are still griping about that one 24 years later.
Derek, Kyle Benning asks, craziest, most active, gut-wrenching, exciting trade deadline ever?
I mean, I think so. You know, the gut-wrenching certainly goes out to those Nationals and Cubs fans and other fans, of course. I think fans in general have trouble parting with players, especially, you know, when you're the team that is not doing as well and is doing the unloading. But, you know, again, we've said it like three times on this podcast, but 10 guys who were all-stars this year changed teams. I mean, I think that in and of itself defines the craziest. And I also think it's really cool how this was spread out over a couple of days. I mean, it's really fun. We get a bunch of deals all on that one trade deadline day, but we usually don't get quite as many. But the fact that this really started, I guess, with Nelson Cruz and Rich Hill last week, and this has been going since then, the fact that Thursday night was maybe the craziest of all of this, I think that just even adds to it. And it was such a fun week plus and just so much adrenaline.
PK Steinberg asked Dave, last question, which team is more unrecognizable, the Cubs or the Nationals?
I might have to watch that game tonight and see how many names we actually recognize in the lineups for those two teams. Wow. Yeah, boy, talk about, I don't think we've ever seen two teams just, you know, ripped apart like we saw the Cubs and Nationals this week.
Look, if you're going to do it, I agree with what you said. Go all in. And we've seen, you know, so many examples of teams that just waited and were too sentimental. The Philadelphia Phillies, for example, you know, that great team from, you know, 2007 to 2012, they took too long to break it up, and yep, it was costing them a lot. The Cubs at least didn't make a mistake along those lines. Guys, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Buster.
Thank you so much, Buster.
That's it for today. My thanks to Sarah, to Dave, to Mr. Malibu, Nathan Garcia. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.